The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of December. It's almost Christmas. And you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host for today is marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, listener.
Hello, I can't hear you.
That's unusual.
Yeah, why can't I hear you?
Mic's not working.
That's odd. I know why. Go on.
How's that?
Yeah, somebody's turned the mic off again.
You do that to me every time I come
Who
on the show.
Who keeps doing that? It drives me nuts.
It's Amanda Flanders. She sabotaged me.
Yeah. Anyway, say hello again.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Happy Christmas.
That's more like it. He has got into the spirit, listener, I have to tell you. He's wearing a silly Santa hat.
I'd like to have brought a mince pie or two, but I knew you wouldn't eat one.
Well, I wouldn't, but you could have done.
Yeah.
He did purloin three. Yeah, Paul and Ken would have eaten one too.
Yeah, yeah.
He did purloin three biscuits, one for each of them,
oh,
which
were,
he didn't give me
they
one.
Were
but
quality, were quality they? Biscuits.
Anyway, listen, I want to say some thank yous right up front, and I want to do it up front. I should do it at the end of the show, but I'm going to do it at the beginning so I don't forget. Yeah, and I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to the Business Bunker show sponsors for 2016. We've had some massive support for some fantastic folks, and I'd just like to say a huge, huge thank you to Rift Accounting, Supply My Business, Best Business Events, Phoenix Interim Recruitment, and all the folks that have supported us through the year. We really do appreciate it. You are fabulous folks. We couldn't do this without you, and we really do thank you so much for everything that you do. And, of course, we mustn't forget also that we are sponsored and supported by the Federation of Small Business, and we will be doing a Federation of Small Business roundup later in the show. So thank you to all of you folks for doing that. We really do appreciate it. It keeps us on the air, and we thank you.
They did after a good party.
Who, the FSB?
Yeah.
Did I?
Oh, Friday.
Did you go?
Slope Off Friday.
Oh, Slope Off Friday one.
Faversham Creek Hotel.
Yeah. They've got to rename it, though, haven't they?
It almost turned into
Slope Off Weekend.
I was going to say, it nearly turned into Slope Off Saturday as well.
Yeah. That's Jules for you.
Rebecca was there. Lovely Rebecca from Serenity Becker. She owns three beauty salons down this way, or down that way. And I can't believe she had to get up in the morning. At 9 o'clock, she had a facial booked for a customer.
She was still tweeting me at 1 a.m.
I hope you were wearing a face mask, Becca.
Yeah. She was still tweeting me at 1 a.m. saying, oh, look, Jules has just ordered 8 portions of cheese and Alan's gone off to buy a bottle of port.
The cheese was nice. Alan didn't buy the port because it was £90. And
being an accountant, he wasn't going to pass. He would never get that through on his
hands started shaking at that point. But, well, some lovely people there. Should we try and mention them all?
Yeah, go on.
So we had the lovely big Business Bunker supporter. Fiona Stevens was there. Obviously, we had Jules there. We had Andrew Knott there. We had Kevin Bates from Medic Healthcare. We had Paul Brown from Next Level Consulting. We had Bill Fox, and Bill was incredibly generous, handing out lots of business books that I guess hadn't worked for him, which is why he was giving them away. who else did we have? Oh, I tell you who we had. We had the lovely Joanna from Petit Canopy.
Oh, yeah, Joanna.
And
oh,
she
yeah.
really is lovely. Oh. What a lovely, lovely person.
She's a gorgeous lady, and her canapes are pretty smart
She's
as well.
She's supplied some for the show, hasn't she?
She did indeed, yeah.
So she was there. We had the lovely Trish Stretton. Mm-hmm. We had Rebecca from Serenity Becker. We had the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who did the most amazing rendition of, I've said that word again, Amazing Grace.
Yep. We've got a song for
she's
Gemma
on later
that we're going to play at 1:15.
So Gemma's been exercising her vocal cords a lot recently because she sang at ABC Dartford last week as well when Paul and I were there, and it was amazing then as well. I've used that word again. I can't stop using that word. Anyway, who else was there? Denise Wilton. Denise was there.
Denise was there, yeah.
Yeah, Andrea Barker.
Right.
Who was fantastic. Mm. Everyone should have a pocket version of Andrea Barker because she's amazing as a confidence coach. She's wonderful.
Do you know what her nickname is?
No idea.
Bird.
Is it?
I know two birds, yeah. Bird that just did our pre-show show right. and had to skip off, and Andrea Barker Bird.
I bet that gets confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Manjit was there.
Okay.
Fantastic photographer, real talent. So I'm running out of names now, but I think that's pretty much everybody. There are about 20.
Well, of course, Andrew Knott as well.
I said Knotty.
Oh, did you?
Knotty was there, yeah. So it really was a cracking afternoon. The food was amazing.
Where were you?
Really good company. We're at the, I think it's called the Red Sails Restaurant inside the Faversham Creek Hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And next, actually, the next one is going to be beginning of February at the Empire Room in Ramsgate, which is inside the Royal Harbour Hotel. And that, again, is a very, very good quality restaurant. I had my Christmas meal there a couple of years ago.
So, yeah. So good business was done by all.
We're already planning the next session.
Yeah.
So it must have been good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that what Christmas is for?
You know. Planning.
Yeah. I was just counting up earlier on how many bottles of wine and pints of beer I've had so far in the last couple of weeks.
I wouldn't.
Sure, there's more to it than that. Yeah.
Right, let's crack on. As always, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. That's VanillaWeb@BBunker. So, I'll tell you what, Martin. Do you want to start off? And you can surprise me. You can do an email or a tweet. I don't mind.
Right, okay. I'm going to do an email. Because we've just mentioned her, so let's talk about her event. So Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, so at Gemma Fairhay on the Twitter, is running yet another one of her superb employment law workshops in the new year. It's on the 24th of January. It's pretty much an all-dayer. It's 9:30 to 3 p.m. And it's quite a sensitive subject. It's really all about how you manage staff performance in your business. So recognising, ultimately, in the first instance, whether or not your staff are being productive, looking at things like absence, misconduct, etc. And then rationally and objectively looking at how you can manage, potentially, where you need to, staff out of your business on performance grounds, for example, moving forward. So something that's been certainly historically, I think, quite a difficult subject and quite a contentious subject, but nevertheless, particularly if you're a smaller business, it's incredibly important to make sure that all of your staff are as productive as they possibly can be all of the time. So Gemma's running quite an in-depth seminar on that on the 24th of Jan, and there'll be booklets that you can take away. So it's going to be very much a working session, and hopefully you'll be able to apply this directly to your own business. So you can, the easiest way probably is to get in touch with her at Gemma Fairhay directly if you're interested in going along to that. But it's at the St. George Hotel in Chatham.
Cool. Thank you for that. I've had an email from the lovely Amanda Flanders. And it's about an event that she is staging on her own account next year. You know, people might know Amanda as Butterflies and Dreams, the event organisers, and she organises some wicked events for other people, but she's in fact organising her own event next February, and it's Networkers Networking Event, and it's organised by Butterflies and Dreams Events, set in the stunning location of Eastwell Manor in Ashford, and it's taking place on Thursday the 16th of February from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. and we look forward to welcoming you to the first ever event of its type, an event that's all about networking for networkers, if you see what I mean. It's suitable for three different types of people. It's for people who have only just started networking and are unsure where to go or how to do it effectively. It's for people who network already but are frustrated because it's not working for them. And it's for drunks that go, oh no. And it's for serial networkers who love networking and don't want to miss a great networking opportunity. There's going to be four great speakers. Well, three actually, and another one. There's going to be four great speakers who will give you must-have tips for effective and efficient networking. The keynote is delivered by me, Paul Andrews, Why Do Business Networking, and then we're going to hear from Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, The Pros and Cons of Serial Networking, Mark Lemesma, Perfecting Your Pitch and Psychology of Networking, and Ali Harold, Building Your Confidence to Network Effectively. Are the four speakers. It's one of the best ways to spread the message. Do come along. And there are different ways of attending this event as well. If you just wish to attend the event, It is £15. If you want refreshments and a lunch, it's £25. If you want a VIP ticket, which is front row seats, a two-course meal, and to meet with the speakers individually, it's £45 a ticket.
Will you throw in a signed autograph for that, Paul, as
Me?
Well?
Yeah. And a lock of hair. Oh, no.
Done that too many times.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The networking groups that have already signed up to come are ABC Networking, Metis Women, BNI, Evo Girls, the Women in Business Medway, and Women in Business North Kent, and the Federation of Small Business. So it's filling up fast.
Where is it again?
It's at Eastwell Manor.
Eastwell Manor.
And we'll tweet out some booking links. Oh, hold on. Oh, sorry. To book, if you go to Butterflies and Dreams Events, and that's all spelt out, Butterflies, A-N-D, Dreams, Events, .co.uk/event, and you can book your ticket there. But we'll put a link to that on the Campus Radio website as well.
Definitely cool. Sounds like something worth going.
Yeah, so get along. It'll be good to see you there.
As a serial networker, Paul Rainbow will definitely be there, won't you?
Absolutely.
Possibly.
Right.
If she's lucky.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Miriam McGurk, all the way from Turkey, I'm assuming.
Yep.
It says,
she's up a mountain.
B-Bunker at Vanilla Web, marvellous, Martin, wishing you a hashtag festive fun pack show, listening live from the mountains at Chris Pollard. So, hi, Miriam.
Hi, Chris.
And I hope it's lovely and sunny out there. I'm sure it is, if a little bit crisp in the mornings.
Yeah, absolutely. Eat a fig for us.
Mm.
She's got a lovely fig tree in her garden. Mm-hmm. Aethel Bray have been on. They say, Vanilla Web, can we have a shout-out, please? Thanks to all of our suppliers, Chilston Park, Brands Hatch Place, Team Base, and, of course, to the Business Bunker Show for supporting us this year. So thank you for that.
I forgot to mention someone earlier who was also at Slope Off Friday. Tabitha, the marketing
Tabitha
assistant.
Tabitha Beasley.
How could I possibly forget you?
How could you forget Tabitha?
She had the most amazing Christmas jumper on as well. Her, in fact, her and Fiona stole the show when it comes to Christmas jumpers. Yeah. So, hi, Tabitha. I know you've had a really busy time of it recently, and I hope you manage to unwind and just totally chill out this Christmas because you deserve it.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Fruitworks. Say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, can we get a shout-out, please? The awesome co-working space in the centre of Canterbury. Check us out. Our website is fruitworks.co/space. Fruitworks.co/space.
We've had a tweet from the Granby Hotel. Now, I've started following them recently as well. Do you know where they are, Paul, the Granby Hotel?
I don't.
Okay, they say, hey, at Vanilla Web, please give the Granby Hotel, the Granby Hotel, a shout-out on Business Bunker. So we've done that, but please tweet in live now and tell us exactly where you are so we can tell everybody how to get in touch with you.
That would be useful. We've had... I'm going to run through these very quickly because they're just people are just saying hi. The lovely Tracy Ferguson, Phoenix Interim Recruitment. Yet another picture from Slope Off Friday. Has nobody else got anything on their phones?
Well, the good thing these days is you can ask Google to remove anything incriminating, can't you? So I would imagine there'd be a lot of requests from Slope Off Friday.
Talking about that, have you seen what's going around from Chameleogenics? Chameleogenics has put together a video compilation of the Business Bunker with photographs of me purloined from Google. And I am really mortified that those photographs exist.
Well, they're worse than the ones we already know about.
Yeah.
Great. If anybody's got those pictures and they'd like to tweet
it's
them
on,
in...
It's on Twitter.
Oh, they're on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's Chameleogenics is the Twitter handle, and he's posted a Vimeo video called The Business Bunker Wrap.
Excellent.
Got it for WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Look forward to looking at that then.
Holcomb Health Clinic has said, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, please may we have a Christmas shout-out for our physiotherapy, sports therapy, reflexology and nutrition clinic. Thank you. And they put a lovely, lovely banner up that says, Happy Holidays 2016, sending you love and Christmas cheer from Holcomb Health Clinic. And they're both over there in Medway. So do check them out. The lovely Denise Wilton has also tweeted, as always. And thank you, Denise, for that.
Did she say anything?
Well, no, because... you know what Niamh is like. Niamh encourages everybody else, and she very rarely asks for a shout-out for herself. She's always asking for a shout-out for somebody else.
Well, I happen to know that Niamh...
Or secrets.
Yeah.
Or spill the beans.
Was dressed in Victoriana.
I saw that.
At the weekend.
Yeah.
As a schoolmistress.
Yeah, wielding, trotting up and down Rochester High Street.
Wielding a cane. Being very strict with people in Rochester.
Apparently she forgot her woolen bloomers, though, because she was saying it was pretty cold out there.
But the makeup looked fantastic, and of course she does a bit of acting.
She's an actress. She
in fact, I think she had her film premiere last weekend, or the weekend before.
Weekend before,
We were just around the corner from each other in London. So, hi, Niamh, and good luck with all your various ventures that you've got ongoing at the moment.
Yeah, she's a marketing genius. The Milan Focus is her business account. Do give it a follow. Right, do you know what we're going to do now? We're not going to play Cheesy Tunage.
Oh. I was hoping we would.
No, but we're not. We've got something much better than that. Right. We've got a rendition of Silent Night by the fabulous Gemma Fairclough-Haynes.
And that will not be cheesy.
And this was probably recorded at Slope Off Friday.
It
probably
wasn't. That was Amazing Grace.
Oh, was it? Okay. And she's recorded this, actually, I happen to know, at Chris Sells' recording studio in Herne Bay. Shall we have a listen?
Let's do that.
Oh! mild and sleeping heavenly peace, sleeping heavenly peace.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on channelradio.co.uk and kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of December, the very last show of 2016.
I'm glad you played that advertising after that song. I had a lump in my throat.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
I had to clear it.
Yeah.
I'm okay now, listener.
And that was just your advert.
That was very emotional.
That was just your advert brought a lump to his throat. The song, he was in bits. Yeah. What a fabulous rendition. Oh. Gemma, you're a superstar.
I mean, actually, and the wonderful thing that Chris has got down at Herne Bay on the music studio on the pier is anyone can pop in there and do a recording just like that.
Yeah.
Well, not just like that.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
You need to be able to sing. But, so fantastic. Well done, Gemma. That was beautiful.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm. Thank you. I'll tell you what, Martin, we'll do a couple of quick tweets or emails, and then we'll talk to our first guest, I think.
We've had a tweet from Andrew Knott, funnily enough, who is just returned from
Soap Off Friday.
Yes, almost. A trip to Serenity Becker in Faversham, I believe. Right. So it's not just for ladies.
He hasn't had microderma abrasion done, has he?
He's always struck me as someone that's in touch with their feminine side.
Yeah. In touch with what?
Their feminine side.
Okay.
Much as you are, Paul.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So he's just come back from a treatment, and he can't recommend it enough. But he says, hello, Business Bunker. I'm now tuned in again.
Cool. And I've also had a tweet, again, from Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics, who's pumping this Business Bunker rap video about. It's worth a look. It's quite funny. But he's also asked, on a more salient note, if we could give a shout-out to all the NHS staff working over Christmas and to say thank you for all the support they've given him and his family and to everyone else. So a big shout-out.
Saw that earlier.
To not only NHS staff, but all of our support services and our military who are working through the Christmas holidays to keep us safe, well and happy. So big thank you to all of you.
I forgot to mention D Stringer.
D?
He was also at Slope of Friday.
She was.
On Friday.
All right.
So hello, Dee, and thank you for making it such a wonderful afternoon. And Denise has just tweeted in. Denise, I love that gif. I don't know how you've done it, but she's got her Santa outfit on. She's even done a little Santa's hashtag BBunker Merry Christmas, and she looks fantastic. So hi, Denise, and you're looking great. You're putting us all to shame. I'm the only one that's wearing a hat here. Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, you'll be looking at Paul Rainbow later with his tie and braces and socks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say no more about this. I'm just going to mention, though, photographs on Twitter involving Denise and you and her hands on your cracker.
Yeah, we all saw that.
Yeah, we did see that, didn't we?
That was Jules stage managing the shots on the evening.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We've had a tweet from Justin Dean as well, Justin W. Dean. It says, Merry Christmas to everyone. The impeccable Vanillaware Business Bunker and the superhero. I think the superhero is normally Chris Pollard, isn't it? I think that's who he calls superhero. And that's from Justin Dean at Creative Motion. Cool.
Gemma has just tweeted in a GIF as well. Of herself not wearing a Santa outfit, but nevertheless wishing everyone on hashtag BBunker a Merry Christmas. You look fantastic too, Gemma. And thank you for that song again.
Cool. I'll tell you what, should we talk to our first guest?
Let's do that.
That'll be lovely. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Ken Timms. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Paul. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Nice to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll tell you what, Ken is from Kent Pension Services. And there's probably a couple of clues in the name there. But why don't you tell us what it is you actually do, Ken?
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm a workplace pensions consultant. I've been in company pensions since I was very young, and I'm not so young anymore, so it's more than 35 years
oh,
worth.
Oh, right. Five or 10 years you've been doing it.
Yeah, it's a few years. Yeah, absolutely. I set my business up in April, particularly focused on small employers and workplace pensions. Mm. And I set it up after spending 4 years at the pensions regulator, which is kind of where I learnt it all from, really.
Right. So you worked for the regulator?
I did indeed, yeah.
Uh-oh. Get him.
Well, past the time, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm keen on, I think automatic enrolment is really, really important, and I'm keen to try and help employers see how important it is and how beneficial it is for them to do the job properly, really.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk about, with your help, auto enrolment in a minute.
Sure.
But we were talking before the show about this, and you said something very salient about the whole pensions industry and people's thoughts about pensions. Why don't you tell us that again? Because it was really important.
Yeah, sure. Just precursor to that, one of the things I often hear from employers is that they say their staff aren't actually interested in pensions.
Yeah.
And that's actually because there's a lot of major misunderstanding amongst people about what pensions are about. And the very word pension itself can be misleading.
Mm.
I spoke recently at a staff presentation for one of the clients who invited me to come along and promote the scheme. I do a little motivational piece where I'm just trying to invite people to think about what their life looks like as they go through it, get to their better earnings, and then suddenly stop at retirement.
Mm.
And after a few minutes, this seemingly very intelligent, not an attractive lady at the back of the room, just popped her hand up and said, you know, I'm not even thinking about pensions anymore. I'm thinking about where the money comes from after I retire, which is kind of interesting. It just shows you how misleading the word pension can be in people's minds.
Absolutely. It's also interesting, of course, isn't it? Because young people, they just think, well, it's just so far away, you know, and, you know, before pensions, I need to buy a house or go on holiday or do all kinds of things. And they just put it off and put it off and put it off. And, of course, that's the worst possible thing you can do, because the longer you pay into the pension, the better it is. And you can start off by paying smaller amounts of money into – I'm telling you, you're going to tell me in a minute. But smaller amounts of money into a pension and let it build up over time, yeah?
Basically, it's just about saving. I mean, if you looked at it in very, very simple numbers, say you were saving up for 40 years to draw an income when you retire.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't know how long you're going to be retired for. That's one of the perennial problems. But let's say you know for certain that you're going to retire for 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saving for 40 to pay for 20.
Yeah.
And what you want to pay for is about 2/3 of what you're earning before. So let's say you're saving to take 12 grand a year over 20 years.
Mm.
How much do you think you would need to invest? It's all simple numbers, no inflation, no investment returns. Mm. What monthly contribution do you think you would need to make over those 40 years to have that fund available at the level you need?
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Because once upon a time, I could have worked that out when there was such a thing as an interest rate that was being paid.
It's really simple, simplistically.
Yeah.
No interest, no salary rises apart from the ones that I've indicated.
Yeah.
500 quid a month is the answer.
Right, okay.
And if you look at some of the projections, you'll see you probably halve that if you do well on investments. But nevertheless, that's from 25.
Mm.
And the really important thing to understand is if you wait until you're 45, that figure's going to more than double the amount you need to put aside every month.
Yeah.
So people need to see how important it is. They need to do it now. They need to pay what they can afford now.
Mm.
And the big attraction of a workplace pension is that half of the money that goes in comes from the employer and tax relief, which means if you compare it to any other way of saving, you get 125% investment return straight away. And there's not many other places you can get that these days.
Absolutely. So let's dwell on that a bit more, because that's your specialist subject at the moment, is what we call auto-enrolment.
Yeah.
For those, and this still shocks me, there's still a lot of employers out there that really don't think it counts for them. You know, they go, well, I've only got a couple of people that work for me. I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
And or I've got a staging date and it isn't for another 9 months, so I'm not going to think about it, which is a big mistake as well. Why don't you just give us a background to auto-enrolment, it is, why it is.
Okay. Well, what it is legislation that applies to all employers. It's being phased in so that all employers are allocated a staging date, which is a date on which they must start complying with the law. As I say, it applies to all employers. All employers must do something. Now, lots of very small employers who are just director-only businesses may only have to go online and tell the regulator that they're not an employer.
Yeah.
Some others may be employers but have no one to enrol, and they still have some limited duties.
Yep.
and then everyone else gets the whole thing. So it's a really important thing to understand that all employers have to do something. And I don't really like to go on about fines too much because I see lots of positives in this approach.
Yeah.
But the reality is they know the regulator knows your PAYE reference number. It knows when you haven't done something and it will fine you.
So yeah. And they have actually doshed out a huge amount of fines already.
They have, yeah. It's more than 6,000 now. Yeah. And it's grown very rapidly.
Yeah.
It's important to understand that in the next year, there are 700,000 employers reaching their staging dates. That's the highest number of employers reaching staging dates in any year since it started in 2012. So that's going to be a busy old job, really.
Yeah.
And every employer needs to do something.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the reason why it's happening. The reason is a really imperative. I mean, the fact is that when you look at how the population demographics are changing, the relationship between the number of people paying into the pot to pay for social care benefits and pensions relative to the number of people drawing them is shifting dramatically. Mm. And in reality, the state system is going to struggle. So
we have a 1.3 trillion black hole in our state pension scheme.
Massive.
Yeah.
So it's going to struggle. And the reality is you could sit and whinge and say the government should be doing something else or they should be paying for it or whatever you want.
Mm.
But if you do that, you'll just end up with not enough money in retirement and not very happy. So
absolutely.
So really the onus is on us all as individuals to take the issue seriously. Mm. And when we're being given a facility by the employer, which is low charges, easy to use, and has a contribution from the employer, it's a must that you take it seriously.
Now, personally, me, I have a different pension arrangement. I have a SIP.
Of course.
And I've had that for many, many years. And I know the rules and regulations and the benefits of having a SIP. Most people aren't going to have a SIP. But for those people that are auto-enrolled or have a workplace pension, is it tax-free for them?
Okay. Well, the overall tax legislation laws are pretty similar to the ones that you're used to in your SAS nowadays,
yeah.
Or in your SIP these days. So it's pretty much the same thing. The process is really simple for a member of staff when you think about it.
Mm.
You're putting money on a tax advantage basis into a savings scheme that's allocated in your name.
Mm.
And then when you get to 55 or any time after that, and you choose when you start to withdraw it, you could take that in a combination of tax-free cash and a taxed income. So you don't any longer have to take that in the form of an annual pension. You can actually change that, which is powerful, and it makes it much more flexible for people.
Sure. Okay, cool. So for those employers that have got a staging date, and it's sometime in 2017 or even maybe 2018, and they haven't really thought about it yet, what should they be doing? Apart from panicking.
Apart from calling me, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, of course, they're very welcome to do. But the reality is, I mean, there is information on the pensions regulator's website.
Yeah.
But I'd like to slightly manipulate that question a little bit and try and blow some myths, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
There's a myth out there that the pensions industry hasn't supplied many pension schemes for automatic enrolment, and it's completely wrong.
Hmm.
And originally, the government thought that would be the case, which is why they have lent lots of our money to an organisation called Nest that they established, thinking that it would be absolutely vital to make sure that a scheme is ready.
Hmm.
In reality, there are many tens and tens of schemes out there,
right.
And they're all very different. If you look at Nest compared to its peer group, it's very different to the others. It's a bit Marmite, to be honest. It's a bit like it or love it.
Hmm.
You wouldn't know that unless you go through the process of actually comparing and choosing a pension scheme. And to me, even though you know lots of employers don't really instinctively want to do this because there's a bit of a nuisance, it's all come up in a bit of a hurry and it means spending some money. But the reality is you're putting something in place which may be there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, as long as you're an employer for. So surely some due diligence at around the time you're making that decision must be advisable for any business.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the fact is, you can't leave it. You've got to do something.
You must do it, yeah.
And not least of which, because there are so many people reaching their staging date over the next 12 to 18 months, it's going to get busy.
It is going to get busy. I mean, I suppose I could give you some regulator figures. The regulator reckons that for an employer, this is one with a few staff, so they actually have to understand the whole thing. They can't get away with a quick declaration. It would take an employer about 10 hours of time to go through and understand everything, make the decisions they need to make, and get their automatic enrolment process is in place.
Right.
from a business owner's point of view, the question is, what else could I do with 10 hours? Is it more productive? In which case, maybe I should get someone else to do it for me. Or they might think, I've got a specialist member of staff who I reckon can handle that, and they can get them involved. And starting to think about that means, which bits of help do I need? Do I need just someone to help me choose a pension scheme? Do I need someone to explain it all? Or do I need someone that I could just give the whole lot to and walk away because I don't really want to know?
Right.
So starting to work out what your attitude to the process is and what resources you have is a good starting point.
Cool. Ken, thank you so much for that. Listen, if people want to find out more about you, your service and what you do, how can they do that?
Lots of ways. I've got a website, which is www.kentpensionservices.co.uk. Cool. I'm on LinkedIn, Ken Timms. I'm on Twitter, at Ken Timms. And I've also got a Facebook page in the name of Kent Pension Services. The office phone number is 01892 871242. My mobile is 07939 660960. Got enough yet?
Yeah, no, that's cool.
And
that's
so you
cool.
know where I am. I am based in Kent. I am actually based in Chiddingstone in West Kent, and I would love to hear from anybody who needs my help.
Fantastic. We did have a tweet from the Eden Chamber of Commerce earlier as well, saying that one of their leading light members was on the radio today.
Wonderful people over there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, if you didn't write all that down from Ken, on the Kent Business Radio website, there is a link to Ken's website, and that will be there, and all of his other contact details will be there. So it's on the Kent Business Radio website if you want to find out. Just click on Ken Timms, and that's Ken Timms, spelled T-Y-M-M-S. Ken Timms. Ken, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about auto-enrollment. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Thank you. Cheers.
That's brilliant. I mean, I love people that have worked in the public sector and then sort of gone into the private sector.
Let's not get carried away.
Well, they bring
they
bring a depth of knowledge.
He's just trying to schmooze. That's HMRC good. Is what he's trying to do.
Well, they do bring a depth of knowledge that, you know, that someone who's only ever worked in the private sector just hasn't got.
Poacher turned gamekeeper.
Exactly.
That kind of thing, isn't it really?
As you mentioned HMRC, that's another good case study.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, why don't you read another email or a tweet, and then we'll speak to our next guest.
We've been inundated by a certain group of friends who were all at Slope Off Friday. They've all started...
Oh, they all sobering up, are they?
They've all been making GIFs and sending them in on the Twitter. So, firstly, Amanda Flanders, thank you for yours. Paul was very taken with that kiss that you blew at him at the end of your GIF. So, it's a good job he's sitting down, that's all I can say. Andrea Barker, I particularly liked yours with your upside down sign. So you're still clearly struggling with the after effects from Slope Off Friday. Andrew Knott has tweeted in now that he's back from having his beauty treatment. And he tells us that the FSB subs are going up from the 1st of January. And the reason for that is because of all the pins he was handing out at Slope Off Friday.
Ah, right. Okay.
Somebody's got to pay for them, and it's us, ultimately.
So
if you're thinking of joining the FSB, do it this side of Christmas and save yourself 30-odd quid.
Yeah, good idea. Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Lee Willis. Lee is the chair of the Ancorians Football Club, who are a community football club over there in Gillingham. And he says, fantastic Business Bunker show as always, listening in. Could you please give a shout out for next year? We have a tournament. We have an Ancorians Football Club tournament taking place between the 24th and the 25th of June. And if you want to find out more, if you go to ancoriansfc.co.uk, that is their website, and you can have a look there. The lovely Fiona Stevens from HR Services and Support has asked for a shout out on the Business Bunker show, and I'm more than happy, as always, to do that.
We'd like to see a GIF, though, Fiona, and one of your own, not one that you found, not someone else's, one of your own, please.
Absolutely. I'm trying to keep up with all of these. Who else have we got here? Oh, I needed to do this. The Heating Hub. You know, we've been running a competition of a picture of your pussy on Twitter. Don't start. A picture of your cat.
That's
and people.
So cheap.
And people.
It's taken him 40 minutes to lower the tone. We're now back in the gutter.
Yeah. No. But people sent in pictures of guinea pigs and bunnies and all the rest of it, and they were all disallowed. The Heating Hub ran a competition, and I'm pleased to say that we have a winner, and they have a picture of the winner, and the winner is Willow.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Willow is a. Have you found the picture? Willow is a pussycat, and he is owned by Karen Tolhurst. And her Twitter handle, I believe, is Pebblepip. P-E-B-B-L-I-P-I-P. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Pebblepip?
Well, nothing on Twitter makes sense. Well, that's true. I'm sure anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
Sure, it wasn't Mr. Slope.
Right, here we go. Despite having entrance from rabbits, cuddly cat toys, and even dressed as festive dogs, it's the adorable Willow who has won the hamper and reindeer hat and will be on its way shortly. If you, the Heating Hub and their sister company, the Stove Hub, are having a new showroom launch in January, and it would be great if you could give out the details on the Business Bunker show. So if you fancy getting that funny warm feeling, just mosey on down to their hub in Rochester. And we'd like to wish the Business Bunker and all their crew a very happy Christmas. So thank you to that. That's the Heating Hub and the Pussycat competition winner, which is Willow, owned by Karen Tolhurst.
Fantastic.
Good stuff.
Gemma Fairhay, at Gemma Fairhay, has tweeted in again with pictures of shoes. She's saying, loving the braces, Paul Rainbow at Troman Finance. Now show us your heels.
I can see that.
Don't worry, Gemma. I'm going to take a picture, and I will be tweeting Paul's outfit, including heels, shortly.
It was flats or heels. I'm afraid I wore flats.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Amanda Flanders, who's reminding you that she wasn't actually at Float Sober Friday.
Well, that just goes to show what a good afternoon it was. We kind of remember who was there. So, well, it was our loss, Amanda. Our loss.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Do you know what? We're going to talk to our next guest, I think. What do you reckon?
Let's do that.
Let's do that. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Paul Rainbow. Paul, why don't you start off by telling us, because I can't remember the name of your company. Is it Tom?
Troman.
Troman. Yes. Troman. Yeah. And why don't you start off by telling us what Troman does?
And
I have to say, the reason that I'm flummoxed is because Paul has a rather fetching outfit on.
Oh, yes.
He has Santa braces, a reindeer tie, and Christmas socks.
It's the radio.
And nothing else.
You've got to dress up for the radio. Yeah, exactly. Else. Oh, dear me. No, it's Paul Rainbow. It's Troman Finance. And quite simple, I do asset finance, and I do vehicle supply and leasing.
Okay. So let's dissect those two things. Explain to the listener asset finance.
Asset finance, well, a good example is recently I've just financed three lorry trailers.
Right.
And a chiropractic bed. And
in the trailer?
No, not in the trailer. No, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
But it's any asset that a company needs.
Yep.
Doesn't necessarily pay to go to the bank. There are other sources like
sure.
me that yeah. they can go to. And, yeah, so it releases money within the company.
Okay.
Any asset from 1,500 quid upwards, really. So
right.
photocopiers, anything, really.
Okay. So is that something that you're going to purchase a capital item? Is that how
no,
it
no,
works?
No, no, no. Yeah. The clients will phone me up and say, mm. I need three lorry trailers.
Right.
And I'll say, let me finance it for you.
Okay.
And I'll work out the best way of financing it.
Okay, cool. Am I allowed to ask, and how do you get those funds?
Well, yes, the difference is I'm connected to just all the finance houses you can find around. So
right.
what I'll do, I'm not beholden to one finance
you
company.
You shop around.
So I can shop around and get them the best deal specifically for that product.
Mm.
Some companies will lend for diggers. Some won't lend for diggers.
Sure.
And I'll find the company that will.
Cool. Okay. And that's all very interesting stuff. I want to talk about cars. Don't we always want to talk about? We always want to talk about cars. Apart
yes.
from Martin.
Apart from Martin. Apart
from Martin, who's got a clapped out.
According
Lexus.
To you, I drive an old banger. So
it's not even that. I wouldn't even call it that. I wouldn't enter your car in a banger derby.
Thank you.
It'd win.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yes, I do vehicle leasing, and I can supply and finance new and used vehicles.
Right.
So
okay, we got lots to talk about here.
Yes.
And I'm a bit of a car fan as well.
Excellent.
Yeah. And it's something that's been...
I was about to say, I'm that sad and this that much passionate about cars. I was driving in with Ken today and we spotted an old car in front of us. I said, 1935 Citroen Light 15. I said, great thing about those, Ken, is that they've got independent front suspension, full hydraulic brakes, and front-wheel drive.
I pinched myself
and
to make
and that's when you fell asleep at the wheel.
Say, he was driving.
Honestly, officer. Yeah.
I should say, in all fairness, though, that the car we came in is one that Paul supplied for me.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Ken.
It's an interesting thing, and I'm no kind of expert in this whatsoever, but I've been buying cars for years and years and years.
Lots of people.
And I'm a business owner, and you know, I've been all through the... Back in the day, you could buy yourself a company car, and it was lovely, and then the government hated that and tried to clamp down on it. Right, well, you can still buy yourself a car. It's just they charge you through the nose for having it. So I stopped buying. I have a fleet of 9 company cars, but none of them are mine. Yeah. I have my own car, which I source myself. And then I used to do stupid things like buy new ones, which was always a dumb thing to do. And then I went to buying second-hand ones. But in the last 10 years or so, and one of the things is that I go to my accountants and go, should I lease a car? And they go, no, you know, balloon payments and all that. But the market's changed radically.
Very,
and
very.
The last 3 cars, and including one of the cars I've got at the moment, I lease. I have personal contract hire leases.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Do you end up owning that?
No, I give it back.
That's a lease then.
Yes. Yeah. They Mercedes call it a personal contract hire, but
yes.
I pay 2 months payment in advance, yep. 36 payments, and then give the car back.
That's it.
Yeah, which is perfect.
It is.
Suits
it
me
is.
Perfectly.
And it's, the more I do it, the more I realise it's really got to be the way to go.
Yeah.
On a slightly lesser scale than your Ferrari. Mm. my wife's Fiat Panda was due, it was an 08, last year. We said we better get rid of it. I lost £3,000 on that when I sold it, which you'd expect. Cars aren't
depreciation,
investments.
You mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Cars aren't an investment, they're depreciation. I've got her now, a Volkswagen Up, nice little car, brand spanking new, £100 a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you think it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really?
It is, absolutely. I tell people, people go, oh, I'm trying to find a car, go lease one. And they go, oh, I can't afford a new one. I go, yeah, you can. Honestly, you can.
Yeah.
And they go,
What a lot of people worry about is the fact they don't own the car.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because what's the point in owning a car if it's a depreciating asset? Anyway?
Exactly.
So, you know, you might as well get someone else to depreciate. This works on vans as well, of course. I supply vans. I've got one going to a local company this afternoon, actually.
I was trying to do the maths in the bath, actually.
Were you?
Yesterday evening, yeah. Because I was thinking... I was thinking...
Better habit than usual.
So let's say, for example, you kind of decide to lease a car.
What,
just
you
at
counted
the end.
Up to 11, did you?
Well, hang on a minute. Bear with me. Just at the end of a model's shelf life.
Yes.
So take an E-Class Mercedes or a BMW 5 Series. You know, they knock them out at about £200 a month. And I think the 5 Series is about due for another revamp, isn't it?
Yes, that'll be... Yeah.
So 200 quid a month over 3 years is what? £6,200, something like that. You would lose much more than that purely on depreciation.
Oh, as you drive off the forecourt, the VAT's gone straight away.
Right, there's no servicing costs with that.
Yes and no. If you're going to do high mileage, then build in a service contract.
Sure.
If you're not, don't, because you're only paying for stuff that you'll never use.
Yeah, I mean, basically, as Paul will tell you, what you specify how many miles you're going to do a year, and obviously the payment goes up the more mileage you do, and you can have a maintenance contract or not a maintenance contract. On my Merc, I don't have a maintenance contract because I have a 10,000 mile a year. But what I do have, this is bizarre, I'm allowed 2 free tyres.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what they expect me to do with the tyres. But
I'd say you take them home and wrap them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the potholes will take care of that.
I think it is entirely that, because there are so, you know, I have ruined a few tyres in the last couple of years, but I get 2 free tyres a year.
Well, bear in mind, it's important for the manufacturer to look after their car anyway.
Yeah.
It's their car, and when it comes back from you, they've got to sell it on. So it needs to be in good condition.
I need to tell you this. Not the car I got, not the car I had before, but the car I had before that. I wanted to buy it at the end of the lease. That was a giggle. That was a real giggle trying to buy that. They didn't want to sell it to me. They kept going, well, no. No, that's not how it works. And I go, no, I know it's not how it works, but I actually want to buy it.
That's perfectly doable. I did that with one of mine. I had a Skoda Scout. Brilliant car. It was Octavia Scout, 4-wheel drive. Came to the end of its lease, and I bought it off the finance company quite easy. And there it was. So it's perfectly doable. It's quite flexible as well. If you find yourself doing too many miles during the year, you can then adjust that if you wanted to. Obviously, the costs go up, but it's adjusted.
Absolutely.
So it seems to me, as a business owner, one of the... What you've really got to weigh up ultimately is whether you want it on a personal lease or whether you want to kind of lease it through the company. Because if you take it as a company car, I guess you've got to factor in the relevant tax band, on emissions. Whereas if you do it on a personal basis, you don't have to worry about any of that, obviously.
Mm. Yeah. So what I don't do is advise on that. I can tell you all about the different finance agreements available, but your accountant will know what's good for your business. It might be that you have excess money, in which case, cash purchase.
Yeah.
In which I can still supply, obviously. Yeah. but it's down to your accountant too.
Yeah, but in terms of ownership, as a benefit in kind, as for your personal use of the car, obviously the higher CO2 rating and the higher the list price of the car at new, no matter what you bought, even if you bought it second hand these days, it's still based on the list price at new now.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. So it's a percentage
In terms of your personal tax bill for it.
Yeah. But eco is no longer a dirty word. I mean, it's getting to the point now where, driving a zero emissions tax rateable vehicle is actually no longer second choice, because there are some fantastic hybrid vehicles out there, for example,
and there'll be more later
that have a minimal tax rate on them, so actually you can still have a really nice car, not even have to worry about the tax.
Cars coming out now, not like the Prius was when it first came out, which is a bit dull. When the new Tesla comes out, that's going to be.
Well, funnily enough, I own a Porsche,
but you show off, you.
Yeah.
I own a BMW.
Yeah.
It's dinky,
but I actually bought this one. Isn't leased. I actually bought it from you.
Yours is full scale.
Yeah, and but a Porsche dealer. He's trying to get me to chop it in because they want it back, because they want to flog it, because it's got really low mileage. And they're offering me a Panamera hybrid.
Yeah.
And they're doing some amazing prices on that. And I'm thinking, blimey, I might even have two. I don't know why I'd have two, but... You know.
To be sure.
Yeah, exactly. just for those people that don't know, Paul, just go over the details of the different methods of acquiring a car personally.
Yeah. But personally, what normally happens is that everybody sits and thinks, oh, the old clunker needs replacing. So they go down to Swiss Tony, who really tries to rip them off. And then they get online and they're just bamboozled by 400 different websites telling you how cheap things are. Mm. The best thing to do would be to go to, which is why I'm around. I'm a broker and I can tell you which way it goes. You can either outright purchase it. Mm. I could supply you new or late used.
Right.
You can lease it. So if you said to me, I want to put three payments down in front and have it over 3 years on 10,000 miles a year, no problem at all. You can lease purchase it, and we can build a balloon in there which reduces the payments down, but obviously you've got to pay for that at the end of it.
Yeah.
That's about it, really, isn't it? Yeah. So it's those...
Those are the options.
Those are the options, really, that you can go for.
And I'm fascinated by the... personal lease. I don't know. People call it different things. I'm used to call it a lease.
It's actually a contract hire or a contract purchase. If it's a contract hire, you don't own it. It's a contract purchase, you end up
contract
owning
hire. I'm fascinated by contract hire. I've owned, not owned, three or four cars like that now. And so far,
you've had a brand new car,
yeah,
fully maintained, fully warranted. Yeah. It's a no-brainer, really.
I don't know if this is usual.
last summer, or this summer, when there was one, I could do a Citroen C1, £1,200 down, £35 a month.
Wow.
I mean, I know
it's a brand new car.
Mobile phones are better than that, cheaper than that, more expensive than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got an offer that runs out today, I believe, haven't you, Paul? Is it too late now for your VW up?
Yeah, it's probably a bit late for that
is
now.
It? Cause okay.
Yeah, they needed to be in today, which means the finance needed to be accepted. That was the £105 plus VAT on the Volkswagen Beat up.
But you've got a Seat Leon as well that you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, again, that's part of the same group, unfortunately.
Right. So they're all up today.
prices will be going up.
We need some new offers then.
I don't know if this is normal either, because I hadn't come across it before. But the car I've got at the moment, I've had it certainly less than a year.
Yeah.
And it's on a 3-year hire. And the dealer rang me up the other day and they said, oh, because they know what I'm like, and I've got a it's an AMG, and they said, oh,
you're painting this picture of this glamorous lifestyle of yours.
Yeah.
You park it's it all next made to your up. Sunseeker, do you?
Yeah. It's all made up. And the thing is that they said, they rang me up and they said, oh, we've got the new model, whatever it was, coming in. Would you like to test drive one? I went, well, why would I want to do that? You know, I've only had a new car a while ago. And they went, well, chop it in. I went, it's a hire lease. And they went, yeah, and?
You can get a settlement figure, yeah. But normally the settlement figure is the rest of the monthly payments that you're due.
Right.
So it's an expensive way. The only thing about lease is that you're committing for the period that you're committed for. So if it's a three-year lease, that's what you're committing for.
Absolutely. The thing that threw me is they seemed to be implying that they were willing, as long as I went up, to actually change it to another car, which seemed incredibly odd, and maybe I just didn't understand.
As long as you paid more.
Yeah, as long as you paid more, obviously, yeah.
Difficult without knowing the exact thing, but
So here's the salient question, Paul.
Yes.
For your own cars, how do you acquire them?
I've purchased outright my BMW. I've got a Z4.
Here we go.
But my wife's car's leased.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I know this is a horrible question. I realise it's a horrible question. But, you know, overall, is there one thing that kind of wins it over the others as a normal way of acquiring a car, or is it just personal circumstances?
It tends to be personal circumstances, really. If somebody asks me the best way forward, I normally say leasing because it is the best way forward. Mm. There are certain cars that are much better than others. Skoda have always been excellent with leasing, and they've been superb cars. Mm. Ken's Skoda Octavia, there was car of the year 3 years running. So, you know, and they're terrific cars.
Yeah.
And you get all of the build quality of the Audi in a Skoda.
Absolutely. I saw a report the other day from the chief executive of Ford, and he was speaking at an event in the United States, and he said that he felt that by 2025, Ford would no longer sell cars.
Yeah, and they're also saying that a bit further ahead that most manufacturers will no longer be driven by drivers. Most cars, they'll all be self-driving, which would be a bit of a worry, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But it's fascinating to see which way the market's going, because what I read by that statement was that they're just not going to sell him to you anymore. Everything's going to be leased or hired.
I don't know about that.
No,
lots
I'm sure.
Said lots of things.
Well, you've got the whole second-hand market as well anyway.
Well,
so
exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
It is a very in-depth subject, and people may not know what's right for them. So Paul has very kindly written us a blog recently. Called Vehicle Leasing for Cars and Vans, Is It For You? It's been going around on the Twitter for a while, but it's also on the Supply My Business website in the blog section. So if you're unsure whether or not vehicle leasing makes sense for you, have a look at that, have a read through, because all the information you need is pretty much in there.
And don't forget the commercials, of course, as well. Commercial leasing tends to be the route to go with the vans. And
vans, that. Trucks, yeah, pickups, lorries.
Yeah, very much so.
Sunseekers.
Okay. Actually, marine finance is a completely different kettle of fish.
Is it?
Yeah. Where you can run away around the rest of the world. They can't find you.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Have you ever done any of that kind of...
Not marine, no. I briefly had someone asking me to finance a super tanker.
Right.
But it turned out to be a bit dodgy, which didn't surprise me in the least.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to keep hold of my old banger, just to make sure.
She'll be
now.
Pleased to hear it.
I just thought it was the way it walked.
I'm going to keep hold of it until it breaks down on your business bunker forecourt.
Is there a reason for this, Mark?
Yeah.
Apart from the fact you're tight.
Just to annoy you.
Right, okay.
And when it does break down, I'm just going to leave it there and walk away.
Right, okay. You're going to dump it.
And you can get rid of it for me.
Okay. I'm really surprised that Paul hasn't managed to talk you into buying something decent.
Oh, it's only a matter
of time. He could
do
you a nice little C1.
It's only a matter of
time. Or a Peugeot 107.
Yeah, I think we're looking at sort of cars that suit people. I think a Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right up your street, a bit of Wrangler.
I've got a banjo as well. I can stick that in the back.
Very good. Well, on that bombshell.
Yeah, exactly.
Dan-a-ning-ning-ning.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from GT40.
GT40, absolutely. Called because they're 40 inches high.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a GT40, spelled F-O-R-T-E, make replica GT40s.
Mm. Ah, they build them with a little hump in the roof.
So you can actually get in and out. Yeah.
They do.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. They're fantastic. I've got a friend with one of those.
Right. A replica or...
A replica GT40. Yeah. They built it just like the GT40.
Yeah.
The replicas, you stuck a big old V6 in the back. Fantastic it was.
Good stuff. Paul, thank you so much for that and giving us an insight into asset finance and more about cars.
More about cars.
Yeah, more about cars. We're keen
more
on
manly
cars.
Thing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's something that does affect all of us. I mean, almost everybody has a car, a vehicle.
We do asset. I do asset finance because the mechanics of financing is the same.
Right.
So it doesn't make any difference whether it's a car or a lorry trailer.
Absolutely. So. And money's cheap at the moment.
Well, yes, it is. The finance houses that support the manufacturers will be from the new year becoming out with some good deals soon. Mm. So again, although the manufacturers have put their prices up, I suspect that there'll be some cracking deals coming out.
Absolutely.
The Citroen DS at the moment, I can do some brilliant deals with now.
Yeah.
Next year, watch this space.
And I don't know how you feel about this. A couple of cars back, I got a car, and it was at the time that the plate was just about to change, and it was a brand new car, but somebody had registered it like the week before the plates changed, stupidly, at a dealership. And they
So it was a pre-reg.
Yeah, it had been pre-reg, but no, not for that year, for the previous year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
and they went, why did you do that, you idiot? Yeah. If you'd waited a week, you could have had a new plate on it, but because it had the old number on it, they did a deal on it, and I got a really ridiculous price on it.
If you don't care much about your plates, or go out to DVLA, buy a private plate for £200, hang it on there.
Yeah.
So cheap, and it's so easy to change private plates these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots of advice there on acquiring a car. If people want to find out more about you, Paul, or avail themselves of your services, how can they do that?
Well, they can get in touch with me on my website. It's tromanfinance.co.uk. The best way, because I tend to be out and about a lot, is my mobile. Is 07391. I hope everyone's writing this down.
Yeah, they're right. I can hear them. I can hear them scratching away now.
664-342. I am on Twitter and others.
Paul Rainbow.
I've got a life.
Troman Finance. Yeah.
at Troman Finance.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It is.
But there's a link on the Kent Business Radio website, and it will stay there forever. Yeah. So you'll always be able to find it. Paul, thank you so much for that.
That's my pleasure.
Real interesting thing to hear about, and you and I share a passion in cars, so it's really
absolutely
nice. So wishing you a Merry Christmas. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Yes, thank you very much. Happy Christmas, everyone.
A passion which I clearly don't share.
No, clearly
not. No, you drive around and clapped out old bangers. Yeah. we're going to find out why.
Your car, when it came out, had the it was classified as having the charisma of an operating theatre.
All right, okay.
Oh, that's why he's got it.
Yeah.
It's a charisma-free zone.
That must be why I like driving it so much.
Exactly. Cool. I'll tell you what, we're going to have our mid-show break now, and we're going to have a bit of a traditional song for a change rather than cheesy tunage. And when we come back, we've got an interesting guest to talk to you. What do you reckon?
Well done.